Welcome to episode 1180 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we continue our series 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look. As Jesus made his final journey toward Jerusalem, he traveled through the region of Perea, drawing large crowds wherever he went. He had just dined at the home of a prominent Pharisee on the Sabbath. There, he healed a man with dropsy and challenged the religious leaders with parables about humility, true honor, and the inclusiveness of God's kingdom. Then, he stepped back into the open roads, followed now by a swelling crowd. As people pressed to get close to him, he paused, turned, and spoke to the crowd.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
The crowd murmurs. Several people stop walking. Shocked silence.
Rabbi, did you say we must hate our families?
Yes, but not hatred as you know it, contempt or cruelty. I speak of priority. To follow me, your loyalty to God must be greater than to anyone else, even to those you love most. If your allegiance is divided, your foundation will crumble.
But I have a wife, children, a business. Am I to leave them all behind?
Some may be called to leave much. Others may serve their households with new hearts. But hear me, if your love for me does not reshape every relationship, you have not truly come to follow.
But Lord, we are following. Look around you. We've left our villages to walk with you. Isn't that enough?
And yet many walk for miracles, not for truth. Many want a king, but not a cross.
He looks around. Faces fall silent. He continues.
Whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple.
We've seen crosses. Criminals bear them to die. What are you asking of us?
Death. Death to pride. Death to comfort. Death to reputation. Death to being your own master. To follow me is to walk the road of surrender. No crown without a cross.
But Lord, how can we know if we have what it takes?
Then count the cost.
He gestures to a nearby hill where a tower is being built.
Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough to finish it? If you lay the foundation but are unable to finish, everyone will mock you. This person began to build and couldn't finish.
So we should be sure we're ready before we start.
No, you must be sure you are willing to finish. You may not feel ready, but you must be resolved. Discipleship is not a moment of inspiration. It is a life of faithful sacrifice.
He pauses, letting his words settle, then continues.
Or consider a king going to war against another king. Wouldn't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose one coming against him with 20,000? If not, he sends a delegation while the other is still a long way off and asks for terms of peace.
Are you saying we should surrender?
Yes, not to Rome, but to God. The battle is not against flesh and blood, but your own will, your own ambition. You cannot win that war alone.
He looks each of them in the eye.
In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples.
But Lord, it's so much.
And yet what you gain is greater. You lose your life to find it. You give your all to receive everything.
The crowd is quieter now. Some look uncertain, others more committed than ever.
What if we walk with you now, but later grow weak?
Then stay close, abide in me. Let my words dwell in you. You will not endure by your strength, but by mine.
And if we fall?
Then I will lift you. But only if you are following. A disciple is not one who never fails, but one who never stops following.
Jesus travels toward Jerusalem, surrounded by curious crowds. But among them are two groups, one eager to follow him, the other resistant. Seeing the growing throng, Jesus stops and turns, not to speak comforting words, but to issue a series of startling clarifications. He knows rumors can romanticize discipleship. So, rather than sugarcoating, he affirms, following him demands more than affection. It demands all.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, yes, even life itself, he cannot be my disciple.
It's wrenching language. Did Jesus really mean for us to harbor hatred toward family? What does it signify to hate life itself? In fact, he's using a striking Hebrew idiom. To hate means to prefer one thing so deeply that everything else pales by comparison. Jesus calls us to love him with undivided hearts, so much so that family ties and even our own existence find their place beneath his lordship.
He then underscores the cost by showing how discipleship affects daily life. He warns against impulsive commitment.
Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
It's a sobering image, one of personal sacrifice, shame, and death. Discipleship isn't an intellectual agreement or emotional high. It's a covenant that reshapes identity and destiny. Jesus crafts two vivid metaphors to drive home the seriousness of following him. Two scenarios that force us to assess our readiness. Building a tower. Whoever does not count the cost cannot be my disciple. A tower's construction requires investment of time, resources, and planning. Without considering the cost, the builder will never finish and will become an object of mockery. Jesus urges us to consider, am I starting a spiritual journey with no plan for when hardship comes? Can my faith endure when daily crosses accumulate? Engaging in battle. Facing an army without planning ensures defeat. Jesus asks, have you weighed what you'll face by partnering with me? Spiritual warfare is real. Without intentional trust in Jesus, we'll fall when opposition strikes. He's not deterring followers, but guiding them into deliberate, mature devotion. These metaphors aren't warnings to chase away seekers. They are invitations to awaken latent commitment. Jesus isn't looking for superficial followers, but those prepared to walk with him through every season, trial, and triumph. As one translator puts it, he desires companions who have counted the cost and will follow no matter what. True discipleship means loving Jesus above all, dying daily to self, and walking with wisdom and intention. It's not about rushing in, but maturing in faith through surrender. The freedom Jesus offers is found in obedience, a life trimmed of distraction and full of purpose, joy, and eternal significance. Jesus isn't instituting burden. He's calling us to choose him over everything else. A trimmed life isn't meager, it's beautifully designed. A life with the cross is actually a life with purpose, margin, and eternal significance. Let's get deep. What this passage teaches us about Jesus. Jesus is not content with casual followers. He's a lover worth counting everything for. His words remove illusions. He isn't a feel-good guru, but the crucified and risen Lord. He accepts anyone, but he won't accept half-hearted allegiance. Jesus brings clarity to heart allegiance. He doesn't just call out sin, he calls out divided hearts. Our modern idolatries may not be obvious, but they affect us. False gods of comfort, approval, or safety still hold sway. Jesus invites us into soul transformation. Counting the cost isn't about burden, it's about clarity. He wants us to walk toward freedom, not drift into regret. When you genuinely clarify your commitment, you gain deeper peace, even when you say no to lesser things. Jesus is worth the sacrifice. This passage doesn't end with resignation, it ends with union. Bearing the cross leads to falling more deeply into Jesus' life. Sacrifice doesn't subtract, it adds purpose, depth, and undying hope. Following Jesus always costs something, but it also costs nothing compared to what we gain. Even now we can decide. We choose to love Jesus supremely, letting go of lesser loves. We choose to carry our cross daily, resisting the culture of self-advancement and comfort. We choose to plan our path wisely, surrounding our lives with prayerful accountability. We choose to find freedom in surrender, trading temporal conveniences for eternal purpose. The tower builder and the military strategist know what they signed up for. You and I must do nothing less, because Jesus demands love without reservation, surrender with intention, and discipleship with clarity. We must count the cost today, not tomorrow, and step into the adventure of becoming fully his. Father, teach us to love Jesus supremely, to bear our cross with understanding and trust, and to walk with wisdom in our following. Help us plan well, but not postpone obedience. Give us the freedom found in counting the cost and stepping onto the path you've set. May we choose Jesus over everything, find life in dying to ourselves, and discover in surrender the fullness of your calling. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.